U.S. Treasury sanctions, Iranian firms over crypto maritime extortion. The U.S. Treasury moved against two Iranian-linked firms it accuses of running a protection racket at one of the world's busiest oil choke points, according to a July 30th report from Cointelegraph. The Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, tied the companies to an Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, scheme that pressured vessels transiting the Strait of Hormuz to buy insurance, with some payments collected in digital assets. The designation folds crypto into a familiar sanctions playbook. The novelty is the setting, a maritime extortion operation at the strait that carries roughly a fifth of the world's seaborne oil, with part of the payment flow running through crypto rails instead of the banking system the IRGC is largely cut off from. The mechanics of the scheme Treasury's account describes coercion rather than a commercial product. Ships moving through the strait were pushed to pay premiums, framed as insurance, or safe passage fees, to entities connected to the IRGC, a body already under sweeping U.S. and international sanctions. Routing part of that collection through digital assets is a workaround, not an innovation. Sanctioned actors reach for crypto precisely because correspondent banks will not touch their transactions. That is the uncomfortable symmetry at the center of the story. The properties that make crypto useful to an Iranian dissident or a remittance sender in a capital-controlled economy, censorship resistance and settlement without a bank's permission, are the same properties an IRGC front company exploits to collect an illicit toll. The technology is neutral. The designation targets the people, not the rails. Sanctions reach the wallet. Not just the firm OFAC designations do more than name a company. When Treasury sanctions an entity, it typically publishes identifying details that can include crypto wallet addresses tied to the designated party. Once an address lands on the specially designated nationals list, compliant exchanges, stablecoin issuers, and payment processors are expected to freeze and block funds connected to it. That is where the borderless narrative meets its limit. Most crypto value now touches a regulated on-ramp or off-ramp at some point, and the dominant dollar stablecoins are issued by companies that honor U.S. freeze orders. Tether and Circle have both frozen addresses at law enforcement request in past cases. An IRGC-linked operator can receive stablecoins, but converting them to spendable cash without hitting a checkpoint that screens against OFAC lists is the hard part. For the average crypto user, the practical takeaway is narrow but worth stating plainly. Sanctions compliance is why regulated platforms run blockchain analytics and why a deposit can occasionally be flagged if it traces back to a tainted address. The screening that inconveniences a legitimate user now and then is the same screening meant to catch flows like this one: Iran, crypto, and the sanctions gap. Iran has been a recurring case study in state-level crypto use under sanctions. The country has moved between tolerating and restricting domestic mining depending on its electricity grid, and Iranian entities have surfaced in prior Treasury actions involving ransomware and sanctions evasion. This designation extends that pattern into maritime coercion, an area where the IRGC has long operated through seizures and harassment of commercial shipping near the strait that borders Iran and its Gulf neighbors. Enforcement is the open question. Naming firms and freezing known addresses raises the cost of the scheme and warns exchanges to watch for related flows. But it does not by itself stop cash-based or over-the-counter collection that never touches a compliant venue. Treasury's leverage is strongest at the conversion layer, where crypto meets the regulated financial system.